Blog Talk Radio.
And that is the true and living Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, the King of the universe, the Savior, and the Redeemer of the whole world. Let everything that have breath praise the true and living Elohim by saying hallelujah. Oh boy, it is my pleasure to be on the broadcast, The True Word. And we have to distinguish the true words of the mighty Yahweh from the lies and deceits of what man call the New Testament of the Bible. And today, my people, we're going to be speaking of all of the different contradictions. And we probably won't be able to fit all contradictions because it's so many in the New Testament compared to the words of the true and living Elohim. So, today, what a blessing, what an honor, what a privilege to be on this broadcast. But before we start, we got to have a song praising the Most High. This song is called by our beloved brother Eliab ben Israel, Yah-I.
But you cannot hide. Set your heart to do good. Keep your tongue from lying. Cause your eyes are in every place. Cause your eyes are in every place. You can run, but you cannot hide. Set your heart to do good. Keep your tongue from lying. Cause your eyes are in every place. Cause your eyes are in every place. Yahweh's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole world. There is nothing unseen from the King of Kings, He who made all things. Let us glorify His glorious and fearful name. By acknowledging this Sabbath day with joyfulness, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fearing Yahweh and keeping His commandments is all that matters. And I know that whatsoever Elohim do with it shall be forever. The entire earth shall tremble with terror by His presence. He that made the eye, shall He not see? He that made the ear, shall He not hear? Yahweh's judgment is near. He will plead with us face to face. I trust in Your infinite wisdom. Yahweh, show us grace because we love You. There is no Elohim beside You, You know not in it. The idols that my people put their trust in ain't worth a penny. But You Yahweh are the King, You Yahweh are the Judge, You Yahweh are the Lawgiver, You Yahweh will save us.
You can run, but you cannot hide. Set your heart to do good, keep your tongue from lying. Cause your eyes are in every place. Cause your eyes are in every place. You can run, but you cannot hide. Set your heart to do good, keep your tongue from lying. Cause your eyes are in every place. Cause your eyes are in every place.
We'll put every work into judgment, whether it's good or evil. He who born you from the womb, who then will you make equal unto Yah? The
titles are silver and gold. My people walking in darkness from all the lies that were told. Staying true to the scriptures, there ain't no need to do wrong. Giving glory to Yah, cause he made it all on his own. And with his right on me divided, the ways of the sea. Trusting Yah and be established, fear him and then cleave until his laws will be strong. Yeah, one thing that I know is if a man don't stand for something, then he gon' fall in the hole. There's only one way to go. Elohim is my hope. My folks afflicted, addicted, zoned out and strong on that dope called idolatry. Christianity, all the myths. Choose the good and be blessed, but we chose wickedness. Thus we be cursed cause we refuse to follow Yah's rules. Beware cause Yah's eyes are watching your every move.
You can run, but you cannot hide. Set your heart to do good, keep your tongue from lies, cause Yah's eyes are in every place. Cause Yah's eyes are in every place. You can run, but you cannot hide. Set your heart to do good, keep your tongue from lying. Cause Yah's eyes are in every place. Cause Yah's eyes are in every place.
Praise the mighty Yahweh. His eyes is on the entire earth to show himself strong on behalf of those that fear him and keep his commandments. So we praise the creator of heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. And as I mentioned today, if I were you, I'd pull up a chair because we're going to be discussing something that is a plague amongst the so-called African Americans, most of them, and all black descendants of slaves that were scattered to the four corners of this earth. The lies, contradictions of what man called the New Testament of the Bible. We're going to go into great detail about this book. We're going to go into great detail about us as a nation believing in the lies of our own enemies. Our enemies, guess what, my people? Yah's enemies is our enemies. That's right, Yahweh's enemies is our enemies. And our enemies is Yah's enemies. And we got plenty of them. Plenty of them. It's really sad. And that's why we have to discuss these contradictions. For instance, this is what the true and living Elohim lets us know in the book of Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter. And if I were you, I would get me a Bible, and I'd turn it to the book of Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, and see what the Master Yahweh, the King of Kings, has to say. Because he is the king of all the earth. He makes no mistakes. And he made no mistakes in his words. But the lies and the deceit of the New Testament of the Bible have deceived most every one of Yahweh's people. Only a few, only a remnant, is a people that don't even acknowledge the New Testament. Well, at least when it comes to truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But there are uses that we can use for the New Testament of the Bible. There's some uses, and we're going to get into some of those uses of the New Testament, some things that it's very good to use it for. So, in Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, let's see what Yahweh has to say concerning our enemies, our adversaries, is so important. And I'll start reading at verse 26, where it says, "There is none like unto the Elohim of Jeshurun." Now, Jeshurun is a poetic name for Yahweh's people, Israel. It means upright ones. And, of course, that's not our name. And I know many people even of our own brothers and sisters, whom I love dearly, have went around and called themselves the Yeshurunites. But we have to put everything in perspective. Yeshurun is a poetic name which means upright ones. Now, would our people serving other gods be upright ones? No. It's a poetic name for us when we, as Yahweh called us, upright ones, meaning we were made to be upright. But our name is Israel. That's the name that our father wrestled for all night long with an angel to daybreak. So let's get things straight. Yahweh lets us know, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. So it's not Santa Claus that rideth upon the heavens with his reindeer that Yahweh telling us to acknowledge like many of our people have done, because we would rather teach our children lies than to teach them the truth. We would rather give up a whole lot of our money, like many of our people have, is practically broke because they've been spending money on a lying pagan holiday called Christmas, which in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, Yahweh speaks directly against this custom. You know, the custom that causes you to bring a tree in your home and start decorating it with silver and gold ornaments. So that's why we need help, and we need the help only from the Elohim who rideth upon the heavens in our help and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal Elohim is thy refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Yahakov shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. O people saved by Yahweh, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Hallelujah. Our enemies have been found to be a whole bunch of liars and plagiarist at the same time. That's right. Let's look up the word plagiarism. Let's see what it means for someone to commit plagiarism. And maybe we can discover some things and be able to separate things and understand better that Yah's words are true and righteous altogether. And your enemy's words, we're finding out every single day, almost every minute, that almost everything we've been taught by this man has been a lie. But not only the white man, we're talking about the so-called Jewish man. Seeing that Yahweh took all the understanding away from the Edomites, the so-called Jewish man, the so-called Israelis. You have to understand, my people. And Yahweh is telling us, I'm the one who helps you. I'm the one you call on. I'm the one who knows everything and made everything. I'm the one who delivered Noah from the flood. I'm the one who created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in it. Shouldn't he know? He that made the eye, shall he not see? He that made the ears, shall he not hear? He that gave man knowledge through a brain, shall he not know? Why do we continue to question the Most High? Why do we not have faith in our God? Something wrong. Well, we find, I got a definition of an old dictionary that explains the word plagiarism. And this is what it says. It says, plagiarism is to take the thoughts, the writings, inventions, etc., of another and use as one's own, especially to take and use a passage from the work of another writer, to take ideas, passages, and present them as one's own. Now let's understand. Let's understand. Matter of fact, and in the words used for plagiarism, it says literary thief, kidnapper, plunderer. Taken from another. So in other words, you take somebody else's thoughts and you use it for yourself. Now, in order for you to make it successful so that no one would detect that it was actually someone else's, you might change a few words, but it's still the same thing, but yet you change some words from the original writings, from the original literary, and then you twist it and pervert it and make it garbage. You turn it into lies. You turn it into the deceit. And my people, you got to understand, the New Testament commits plagiarism, falsehood, and everything that the Creator considers an abomination. And it took it and wrapped it up in a book and put it behind the book of Yahweh and made you think that it was a continuation of his book. And he don't even speak in the book. Let me say that again. Yahweh doesn't even speak in the New Testament of the Bible. Now, I've got to show you this. Let's go to Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. Ezekiel chapter 20, and see what the true and living Elohim prophesied would happen to us. In Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, this is what it reads, starting at verse 24. Look what Yahweh said. He said, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore, this is Yahweh talking about us and our ancestors. He said, I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. Ain't that something? We got to praise Yahweh. We got to praise him for the good, and we got to praise him for the bad, because he deserves praise. He's justified in anything that he do, because he's all righteous, and he is true and righteous altogether. So the Most High prophesied. I don't know if any of you all knew this, or some of you all. I know some know. But maybe because we got many of our people listening for the first time today. And it's so important that you know that Yahweh himself gave us statutes that were not good and judgments whereby they should not live. And you want to know where they at? They in the New Testament. Now, because most of our people believe in the New Testament, you first got to see the truth. Because the only way you're going to know something is a lie is that first you need to see the truth. And then you can decide. But if all you've been taught is lies and deceit, it's going to be very hard for you to change. And I hate to say it, but many of our people are not going to change, especially you older brothers and sisters. You're set in your ways, and you've been taught the New Testament, and you've been brought down from generation unto generation, and you're just set in your ways, and you don't want to hear this, and you trust it, even though you know you and your people catching hell, even though you know that most of the things that they have taught you, you know they're not true. You know there's no Santa Claus. You know that nothing is going to speak to you when you put them gifts under that tree. You know that even though our people was in New Orleans on the rooftop begging for help, we know that Christ was nowhere to be found. Didn't he say, where two or more of you gather together in my name, here am I in the midst? Well, where is he? Where is he? Where is these gods that our people are dedicating their life to? Let me show you what I mean when I say that the New Testament is a book full of contradictions. And it don't only contradict the word of Yahweh. The New Testament contradicts itself. Now, first, let me show you Psalms, the 19th chapter. Let's get right to it. Psalms chapter 19, and see what Yahweh said compared to the book of Satan. Psalms, the 19th chapter, let's read the 7th verse. This is what Yah said. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yeah, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great rewards. Hallelujah. Praise ye Yahweh, that the Most High's laws are perfect. They convert the soul. Commandment is pure, enlightens the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, endure forever. His judgments are true and righteous altogether. And they're more to be desired than fine gold and sweeter than the honeycomb. And he warns us through them. And in keeping them, he's going to reward us. Now, what else can you ask for in life? What else is required for us in life? Because Yahweh said in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the 13th verse, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Hallelujah. This is the whole duty, the job of man. This is what we were created for in the first place. But despite all that, despite in Psalms 19 verse 7, where Yahweh said that the law of Yahweh is perfect, and then he goes all the way down to bring in even more perfections of the law, and how they open your eyes, and how they are to be desired than gold, and he's going to reward the righteous when they keep his commandments. Despite that, let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Hebrews. That's right, the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 19. Wow, ain't that something? We just came from Psalms 19, verse 7. And now we're going to go to Hebrews 7, verse 19. Marcion and the Piso family, they really pulled a number on us. And I truly mean they pulled a number on us, a backward number, from Psalms 19, verse 7, to Hebrews 7, verse 19. And let's see, does this book complement the word of the Most High. It says in the 19th verse of Hebrews 7, for the law made nothing perfect. Uh-oh. Let me read that again. For all of my Christian brothers and sisters that I love, I want you to take a good listen to this. Now listen to this. Now, despite what I read in Psalms 19, verse 7, the New Testament says, for the law made nothing perfect. The bringing in of a better hope did. By the which we draw near unto God. Now, I can't say Elohim here. I can't say the Almighty. Did you know if you look up in a concordance, a Greek concordance to the Bible in this word, in Hebrews 7, verse 19, you're not going to get the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're not going to get the Elohim of the Hebrews. You're going to get somebody named T-H-E-O-S. That's what you're going to get. And that's where you get the word theory, you know, T-H-E-O-R-Y. And when you look up L-O-R-D in the New Testament, you're not going to get Yahweh's name. You're going to get the name of actually a false god. Oh, my goodness. You're not going to get Yah's name because his name ain't in the New Testament. And you can obviously see that he doesn't even prescribe to the new or to the holy words of Yahweh, because you're reading a complete contradiction. You're reading someone speaking something that Yahweh prophesied in Daniel chapter 7. And we're going to go there right now. Here Yah saying the law of Yahweh is perfect. And you're reading right now before your eyes that the New Testament says, for the law made nothing perfect. It didn't enlighten the eyes. It didn't make anyone wiser. It doesn't do anything for you. It's not true and righteous altogether. It makes nothing perfect. You got to know what he's saying here. The law made nothing perfect, but something else did. A better hope did. Do you understand, my people? Do you understand that Daniel, the seventh chapter, explains this? Daniel, the seventh chapter, look what the true and living Elohim prophesied what happened, starting at the 23rd verse. It's so important that you see this. Look what it says. It says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. The fourth kingdom on earth. Now, my people, you got to know your history here. Now, you got to know what's going on. You got to listen in. You got to study. You got to seek. And you find that the fourth kingdom on earth, the fourth great kingdom on earth, and even most Bibles let you know that it was the Roman Empire. See, we're under the remnant, the broken remnant of the Roman Empire right now. This was the fourth kingdom on earth that devoured the whole earth and tread it down and broke it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first. He shall subdue three kings. And check this out. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of times. But see, this is what we got to understand. He said, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Now, in other scriptures that give the Hebrew proper translation, it says serve and obey them, because he's speaking of the saints of the Most High. That's the righteous. That's those that keep his laws. That's those that won't let you be fooled. They're not going to be fooled by somebody telling you the laws are done away with and that the law made nothing perfect. And but yet somebody came and had to die for your sins. And that's what made the world perfect, because it was a failure since Adam's time when he failed and ate of the tree. This is a lie. This is garbage. This is hogwash. And we're going to talk about this. I'm going to open the lines up at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Because if you've got any questions or comments, you call area code 323-443-7418. 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1, and we're going to put your comment and question on the air at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Because I already know that many of our people that have never seen this, they probably are bewildered. Because you're dealing with someone who has the nerve to speak great words against Yahweh himself, because he is the Most High. And he's going to wear out the saints, even the saints of the Most High. Some of our people are going to fall prey. Some of our people who knew that a day starts in the morning, they're going to fall prey to this beast because they're going to be misled by blind leaders. And a whole lot of our people have been misled. A whole lot of our people believe that there's a Yahshua. A whole lot of people believe that a black man died for your sins. And the whole thing of Christianity is just a black Hebrew died for your sins. Well, you just a Christian. You might know who you are, my brothers and sisters, but if you believe Yahshua died for your sins, then guess what? You are just a black Christian. And the Most High is letting you know that this would happen, that they would speak great words against him. When Yahweh said the law of Yahweh is perfect in Psalms 19:7, don't be surprised when Satan's book tells you that the law of Yahweh made nothing perfect. The law of Yah made nothing perfect. Nothing. It don't enlighten the eyes. Furthermore, let me show you what I mean. For instance, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter. Oh, excuse me, Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. And furthermore, let's see what thus said Yahweh concerning how holy we are and his instructions that you might stay holy. Well, this is what he said and commanded us in Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, for starting at the second verse. This is what Yahweh said. He said, for thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy Elohim, and Yahweh has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all people upon the face of the earth. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. Y'all, this is the words of Yahweh. This is the words of the Most High. Let's continue to show you how the fourth kingdom, the fourth beast, the writers of the fourth kingdom, the Piso family, Marcion, how they made up Paul, how they made up Christ, how they made up Peter, how they made up John, Luke, Timothy, and all the other characters in the New Testament of the Bible, and got you thinking that now everything the Creator said is wrong. Yah said, thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. Well, let's see. Let's look in the so-called New Testament and see what thus said Yahweh opposite of his word in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians. And now this is deep, because when you see it, wow, you just have to scratch your head, because there are some things that I never thought that I would believe that I would ever see, that somebody would have the nerve to speak against the true and living Elohim. And all you got to do is go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and let's see what the New Testament has to say concerning Yah's diet. Yahweh told us, don't eat any abominable thing. Don't eat swine, lobster, shrimp, crabs, oysters, and scallops. You must eat the fish from the waters that has fins and scales. These are his laws. He says they make you contaminated, which means they make you unclean, unfit. But despite that, and by the way, Yahweh clearly tells you in the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter, that he's going to kill those that eat the abominable food and the swine. He's going to kill them. That's part of his judgment. But in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, let's see what Paul has to say. Because a lot of y'all don't know, you're following Paul. This is what it says in the New Testament in the 25th verse. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the LORDs and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat it, asking no questions for conscience sake. Wow. Did it really say that? If any of them bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, like many of you all went to the Christmas dinner, like many of you all went and getting ready to go to the so-called New Year's, which ain't going to be a new year in the eyes of Yahweh. Whatsoever said before you, eat it, asking no questions for conscience sake. So if your conscience is bothering you because you're trying to keep the laws of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, and Leviticus 11th chapter, where Yahweh said, don't eat that hog, don't eat that lobster, that shrimp, don't eat that ham, the bacon, or his word. Well, guess what? Yahweh letting you know right here that his words are being spoken. That's okay. He's saying, no problem. Eat whatsoever set before you and don't ask no questions for conscience sake. Let me show you furthermore. Let's go to the book of Hosea. Or may I say, since we're in the New Testament, let's go to the New Testament and let's see what day did Christ rise. Because there's so many contradictions in this book. First of all, it says in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Because let me show you something. Speaking of plagiarism. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, let's read. This is what it says. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, I don't know what scriptures he's talking about, because definitely it's not in the holy scriptures from Genesis to Malachi. But nevertheless, In the fourth verse, it says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, when you analyze this, and I do mean analyze, when you analyze this verse that you're reading right now, you're going to find that there's been some plagiarism. There's been some messing around with some of the words that Yahweh spoke. And I can see why they said scripture here. And we're going to see, too. See, it says, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, I'm going to show you something according to the true scriptures in the book of Hosea, the sixth chapter, that you might not be aware of. In Hosea, the sixth chapter, let's look and see what Yahweh said about his people. You know, because Yahweh is the Elohim of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. How ironic that Christ had 12 disciples. Well, how ironic that it says that he rose on the third day. This is what Paul said. But according to the scriptures, but let's see who the Most High said truly was going to rise on the third day. In Hosea, the sixth chapter, the first verse, this is what it says. Come, and let us return unto Yahweh, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, will he revive us? Oh, my goodness. And in the third day, he shall raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Let me read that again. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Praise be to the mighty Yahweh. What could he be talking about? What could the Most High be speaking of right here? Seeing, as he's saying right here, he said that he going to rise us up in the third day. Well, my people, I have to let you know, 1,000 years in the sight of the Most High, it's like yesterday, that's past. I'm going to say that again. 1,000 years in the sight of the Most High, it's just like yesterday when it's past. So in other words, that's why Adam didn't die in the day as we count it, the next day or the very day that he ate of the tree. He didn't die. You notice he continued to live over 900 years. But in the sight of Yahweh, he didn't quite live a day. He didn't even live a day at all. Because according to Psalms, the 90th chapter, Psalms 90, you got to see this because this is heavy. And it's very important that you understand this. Psalms 90, read the fourth verse. It says, for 1,000 years in thy sight, meaning the Creator, are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. So in other words, that's why Adam didn't live a day in the sight of Yahweh, because 1,000 years in his sight, it's like yesterday that's past. And guess what? Did you know, according to Hosea, the sixth chapter, where you just read, where the Most High told us that he going to rise us up in the third day, Did you know that we have been living in this world for over 2,000 years of a lie called Christianity? Did you know that? And did you know that in the third day after the 2,000 years, Yahweh is letting you know we're going to rise, and we're already on the rise, because Yahweh all over the earth is opening eyes. Praise Yahweh. All we had to do was return back to his laws and his commandments, and we're beginning to see that our enemies have been found liars. They just plagiarized and changed things and perverted judgment and perverted the words of the true and living Elohim. 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples. They said Christ rose on the third day. Now you're reading right here where Yahweh said, I'm going to rise, he's going to rise us up on the third day. Hallelujah. Oh, this thing getting heavy. And it's about to get heavier. Because we have to understand, this book, the New Testament, is full of deceit. Go to Matthew's New Testament, the 12th chapter. Let's go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, let's read. Now, we just read where Paul said that Christ rose on the third day according to the scriptures. Now, I know what scriptures he was really plagiarizing when Marcion and the Piso family combined and devised these schemes and these lies. All they did was look in the word of Yahweh and begin to change things. Matthew's the 12th chapter. Let's see what, as it says, that Christ said concerning his raising up. Let's start at verse 40. This is what it says. And it's in red in my Bible, so it lets you know it's supposedly, these are supposed to be the supposed words of Christ. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Is that really saying that? Yes, it is. And it sounds like this book is contradicting itself. It sounds like Paul is saying he would rise on the third day. And that's why many of you all go to church on like you went to this morning. Because you believe he rose on the third day. You believe he died on the FRI day. That's one. The Sabbath day, which was yesterday when you should have worshipped Yahweh, that day too, and that the third day would be Sunday, the first day of the week. Here y'all telling us, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. The seventh day was the last, it was yesterday. Today is the first day of the week. Now let's count that. Paul said, that's why y'all go to church on Sunday, because you're following Paul. Paul said he rose on the third day. Christ is telling you that as Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights, or the belly of a whale, he said, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. That means that's how long he was going to be in the grave, for 3 days and 3 nights. Now let's add that up. That's why it's so important that you know when a day starts and when a day ends. It's so important. That's why it's important that you know when a night begins and a night ends. Because there's a difference between day and night. Yahweh made it that way when he first made the heavens and earth. When he first made it, he separated the day from the night. He called the light day and the darkness he called night. And right now, many of you all are being condemned because you're not searching with all your heart, soul, and might to learn and understand the difference between day and night. The Most High is letting us know right here that our enemies have been found no more than a bunch of liars. Now, let's add it up. The book say he died on the FRI day. That's one day. Let's count. That's day one. The Sabbath day, day two. The first day of the week, day three. Well, let's start it. FRI day, that night. That's one day, one night. Sabbath day, that night. That's 2 days and two nights. First day of the week, Sunday, today. That's 3 days, and then Sunday night would make up three nights. So my goodness. Y'all, I think the whole, most of the whole world have been trying to keep something that ain't even true anyway. They keeping it on the wrong day. They should be going to church on Monday morning. They should be going to church on Monday morning according to Christ's count. Oh, my goodness. That's why it's important that you know the difference between a day and a night. This book contradicts its own self. Oh, boy. Furthermore, continuing in the folly of this book, let's go to Exodus, the 12th chapter. Let's go there and see what Yahweh has to say. Oh, excuse me, Exodus, the 31st chapter, the 12th verse, and see what thus said Yahweh in his own law concerning this great day. What day? The Sabbath. Let's see. In the 12th verse of Exodus, the 12th of 31st chapter, this is what it reads. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath shall you keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh that does sanctify you. And that's why many of us don't even know Yahweh, because we don't even worship him on his day. He said, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy unto Yahweh. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. How many times he got to say it? Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Perpetual means nonstop. Despite all that beautiful truth that we just read, you better see what Satan said. And where are we going to find out what Satan said? We're going to have to go to the book of Colossians. Boy, this is really terrible. But we have to get this out. It's the only way we're going to learn. And we're going to be opening our phone lines up in about 6 minutes. All you have to do is call area code 323-443-7418. Hit that number one. We're going to put your comment and your question on the air. This is a hot topic. Colossians, New Testament, 2nd chapter, 16th verse. Look what it says. Let no man therefore judge you in meat. That means whatever you decide to eat, or in drink, whatever you decide to drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. That's what you need to concentrate on, they said. Don't even worry about it. Don't let nobody judge you. And that's why they don't hearken to you when you get ready to tell them that Yahweh said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. They ignore it. They ignore it. Don't let nobody judge you. If you want to eat you a pork chop sandwich, don't let nobody judge you. Paul said, eat whatsoever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. There was a time in the New Testament when Peter looked and saw a vessel full of unclean things, and it claims that a voice from heaven told him, don't you claim nothing that I made unclean. Don't you do that. Eat it. Don't worry about it. Oh, my goodness. Let no man judge you in meat and drink in respect of a holy day or the new moons or the Sabbath day. Wow. Let's go right now to the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter, and see the conclusion of the whole matter in this. Isaiah, the 66th chapter, my people, you're receiving right now the warnings of the Most High right now, because this is what Yahweh said in his own words. In the 23rd verse, it reads, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrent unto all flesh. Hallelujah. Praise be to the judgments of Yahweh, because he deserved to do whatever he want to us if we don't humble ourselves and start keeping his commandments. Creator said, whosoever defileth the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. And Yahweh is not going to change. No matter how much we change, Yahweh changes not. Oh, my goodness. Now, let's understand something, my people. Let's understand that, well, it looks like we're about at the time that we're going to open our phone lines up. And we have people on the phone line waiting to give their comment and their questions. And we're going to open it up right now as we go to area code 425. Shalom, shalom. You are on the air.
Good afternoon. Shalom, Marie. This is
Saphiria. Oh, shalom, my sister Saphiria. How you doing?
I am just increased, and the wonderful lesson as well. You are fired up because, Marie, I was listening in, and you were giving Psalms 19, verse 7, and then you
yes.
went to Hebrews 7, 19, talking
yes.
about
yes.
where in Hebrews 7, 19, it says that the law made nothing perfect, where Yahweh
right.
clearly says the Torah himself, he said, is perfect. And it just kind of made me think. I went to, while you were speaking, I thought about Revelation 22. And it's
yeah.
Revelation 22, 12, 13, where Yehoshua claiming, since this is a false book anyway, but he said that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and
yeah.
the end. Well, the Torah is the living word of Yah.
Absolutely.
It's his law. Everything is perfect. So if he said this was not perfect in Hebrews, this is what they claim, that the law was not written, is nothing.
That's
how
right.
How could they say in the same book, their own book, and it's in red that he's the Alpha and the Omega? So the law had to be perfect, claiming
That's right.
to be the omnipotent one.
That's right. You're absolutely right, sister. And that's why I'm having this broadcast today. Yes, it is. It's really crazy, because this is what happens when you speak great words against the Most High. And, of course, Yahweh told us in the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter, the 5th and 6th verse, that every word of Elohim is pure. It is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he'll reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And that's exactly what the New Testament has been found. And so, yes, ma'am, you're absolutely right. They have the nerve to do it because Yahweh said that they would. They would speak great words against them. So they're just fulfilling prophecy of the words of the Most High.
That's right. It's just an awesome lesson, Murray, and you're such a wonderful teacher. And I just want to say shalom, shalom, and that Yahweh be the glory. He's using you to just to continue to go forth with this, these wonderful messages and lessons, and you are being heard, and it's, I learn a lot from you. I know that my family and I learn a lot through you, the word of Yah. So this shalom, shalom, and can keep up the good work.
Well, I love you, sister. Praise, all praise belong to the mighty Yahweh, and I love you and your family, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. And I know that we and some of the other brothers and sisters will be speaking on the W evening at about 7 p.m.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Shalom, shalom. Yes.
Shalom, shalom. Praise
shalom,
Yah.
Shalom, shalom. I'll be listening in, so shalom, shalom.
All right, shalom, shalom. Praise the mighty Yahweh. I praise Yahweh. I praise him because the Most High lets us know. My sister went to one of the things that I want to show you when Christ said he's the Alpha and Omega. So in other words, he's letting you know he's the first and the last. But you got to understand something, my people. This is what he means when he said they will speak great words against the Most High. I want to show you something in the book of Isaiah, the 48th chapter. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 48. Let's see, furthermore, what the true and living Elohim is going to let us know when it comes to our enemies speaking great words against him. And this is what Yahweh said. These are Yah's words. And I trust in Yah. I know Yahweh is the first. Because guess what? He made everything and everybody. So anyone else that tried to say that they are the first and the last is someone who's actually trying to be like the Most High. And in Isaiah, the 48th chapter, the 12th verse, check and see what Yahweh said. He said, "Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel." He's speaking to us, O black man and woman. He's speaking to you and me, and he letting us know my called, because that's who he calls. That's who he spoke to. That's the one he gave his word to. Psalms, the 147th chapter, the 19th verse, clearly lets us know he showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and judgments unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any other nation. And as far as his judgments, they ain't known him anyway. Praise ye Yahweh. Hallelujah. They know them. Yah said in Amos, the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse, "Hear this word which Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all of your iniquities." So he's talking to us. Look what he's saying. The 12th verse of Isaiah 48, "Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my call. I am he." These are singular. I am the first. I am also the last. Do you see? "My hand also had laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All you assemble yourselves and hear, which among them have declared these things." Hallelujah. This is the Creator telling you, I'm the first, and I'm the last. Uh-oh, plagiarism. Plagiarism. Taking someone else's words and putting them for yourself. Plagiarism. All in the New Testament of the Bible. All through the book. But it don't end there. That's the sad thing about it. It's so many contradictions that it ain't funny. Let's go to the book of Isaiah furthermore. And let's see furthermore what the true and living Elohim is going to let us know in the 40th chapter of Isaiah 40. This is what he says in the 18th verse. Or may I start in verse 17? This is what it says. And of course, you still, all of you all that would like to ask a question or comment, all you got to do, call area code 323-443-7418. Hit that number one. We're going to put it on the air. But in the meantime, look what he said in verse 17 of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken Elohim? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? So in other words, who are you going to compare? That's what the word, when he said liken, he had to repeat himself. He said, on what likeness will you compare him? Who then will you liken Elohim? Who will you compare? Who can be compared to the one who created everything? Who can be compared to the one who prays to no one? Who can be compared to the one that don't have a mom and a daddy or a grandpappy or a grandmama? What mortal man that he made can compare himself to the Most High? What angel who Yah made could compare himself to the Most High? Yahweh alone is Elohim, and beside him, there's none else. It's so heavy, my people. That's why it's so important that we look in the words of the Most High and see what he said in Isaiah, the 46th chapter. He further speaks of this matter that got to be spoken of. In the book of Isaiah, the 46th chapter, let's look at the 5th verse. To whom will you liken me? You're asking again, and make me equal and compare me that we may be like. Is there anyone? Yahweh warned us in his commandments, in the Torah, in the book of Deuteronomy. He gave us an emphatic warning against even trying to make some type of image from him and starting to bow it down to him, this image. And we have to understand, because the true and living Elohim is not playing with us. He will kill us. He said, we didn't see no similitude of him when he brought us out of Egypt. No similitude. And you got to see this. That's why it's so important that we understand that there's no one who could compare themselves unto the Most High. Because that's why he's called the Most High, because no one is higher than he. So that's why I would love for you to turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and look at this warning that he's going to give us. It's heavy. It's quite heavy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's see what the true and living Elohim furthermore is warning us against. Starting at the 15th verse, it says, because this is deep. It says, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. Let's say that again. Take ye therefore good heed, not bad heed, not lying heed, not what you want to do, but take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that Yahweh spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make unto you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, that means form or shape of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Isn't that what they got all over the churches? If they ain't got a white Christ, they got a black one. But in various nations who believe in Christianity, Christ look like every nation. They got a Chinese Christ, a Japanese Christ, a Asian Christ, a Arab Christ, a white man Christ, a African Christ. No matter what race you are, you can get you a Christ, because they believe in the graven images. And Yahweh warned you and our fathers, don't you do this. And start saying that's the Most High, wrapped up in flesh and blood. And he came down to die for me, said John. Now Yahweh just said in Isaiah the 40th chapter, in Isaiah the 46th chapter, who shall you compare me to? Who shall you liken me to? Now despite all that, and then he went further and said, and make me equal and compare me that we may be like. Now he's trying to get something in our head. He's trying to make us to understand. And then he even said in the 18th verse of Isaiah 40, or what likeness will you compare me unto? What likeness? What form? Well, you can imagine. Let's go to the book of Satan. Let's go to the book of deceit in the New Testament. And let's go to the book of Philippians and see what Philippians, the second chapter, has to say in this matter. Now, this is going to blow your mind. Look what Yahweh is showing us, how much our enemies is being found liars, even unto this day. We have to, let's just stop and just say, hallelujah. Let's praise Yah, give him his due. Look what he said. Look what he said. And of course, I got to show you, even further from this very chapter, it says in the sixth verse, I'll start at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ JC. He's telling you this is the kind of mindset you should have. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Oh my goodness. He thought it wasn't robbery to make himself equal with the Creator. And didn't I just show you where Yahweh said, who are you going to find me that's equal to me? Who are you going to find that is of a likeness of me? Who are you going to find that has the form and look like me? And he thought it not robbery to make himself equal. Well, that's a lie, because you're not equal. You're not equal at all. And you must understand, my people, we've been lied to so bad that many of our people have failed for this great lie. And that's all it is. It's just a bald-faced lie. Because there's no one to be compared to the Most High. And you know it. Deep down in your soul, you know there's no one like Yahweh. Isaiah, the 45th chapter. Let's go there. Hold that page in Philippians, the second chapter. And furthermore, let's see. Isaiah, the 45th chapter, look what the true and living Elohim, your creator, saying to us in the 20th verse. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. You that are escaped of the nations that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a deity, unto a God that cannot save. And that's what you do when you pray unto the God that died on a piece of wood. As Yahweh prophesied in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, as a curse to us, he said you would serve wood and stone. Christ is the wood deity. You have to believe he died on a piece of wood, the cross, or you can't be saved. Tell ye and bring them near. Yeah, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Yeah, we know. Ain't nobody but Yah. Who has told it from that time? Have not I Yahweh? And there is no Elohim besides me, a just Elohim and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am Elohim, and beside thee there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Hallelujah. Praise be to the mighty Yahweh and him alone. Yahweh letting us know, I sworn by myself, I'm the Savior. There's none beside me. The just Elohim. And then he said something very peculiar in the 23rd verse. He said, I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto me, singular, every knee shall bow. That means will. Every knee going to bow to Yah. No matter what you believe. And every tongue shall swear. Now, let's go back. Remember I told you to hold on to Philippians, the second chapter. Let's see what Paul has to say concerning this. Oh, my goodness. Look what Paul said. Let me show you how you're following Paul for a minute. Paul said in the 9th verse of Philippians chapter 2, wherefore God also has highly exalted him, talking about Christ, and given him a name which is above every name. So in other words, they even saying that his name is above Yahweh's name. It says above every name. It didn't say every name except his father. It said his name is above every name. Great words against the Most High. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that JC is LORD to the glory of GOD, the Father. Wow. The scriptures say, not the New Testament, but the scriptures say wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get ye wisdom, as we spoke earlier. But with all you're getting, get understanding. See, Yahweh would not give Satan to permission to put his name, meaning Yahweh's name, in this book. Oh, no. He couldn't use his name. So that's why when you go to G-O-D and L-O-R-D, you're going to get something else. You're not going to get the name of Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the Elohim of the Hebrews or the Israelites. You're not going to get that, as I mentioned earlier. So you notice these words, because every word of Elohim is pure. You notice in Isaiah, the 45th chapter where we just came from, you notice Yahweh didn't use no word, people should bow to me. Hey, you should bow to me. Oh, no. Yah said every knee shall bow to me. That means every knee is going to and will bow to me. Hallelujah. Yah said every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall swear. But you notice, in the New Testament, it said that at the name of JC, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. You should, but you know you shouldn't. Hallelujah. All praise to Yahweh. Even the writers of the New Testament knew that nobody ain't going to bow to JC, that you just got to believe in JC. And you should bow to me. He's giving you a should rather than a shall. And there's a difference between the words. Because every word of Elohim is pure. And is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. He told us, add not unto his words, lest he'll reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And Yahweh is reproving your enemies to be bald-faced liars as they are. Hallelujah. Now let's look at some things for a minute, because we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Yahweh said that Israel is his son, even his firstborn. Do you understand? Israel is his son. Israel is the one and only. For instance, let's go to Exodus 4. Exodus chapter 4. And look what Yahweh said. Because we got to understand. We have to understand. All through this book, Yahweh lets us know Israel is his son. Exodus 4, verse 22. Let's see what he told Pharaoh in the 22nd verse. It says, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus said Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. So the Almighty calling this whole nation, us, his son. Because he the one brought us out of Egypt. And then we notice, because if you go to Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, Hosea the 11th chapter, the first verse, this is what Yahweh said. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And he did. And he killed the firstborn sons, daughters, animals. He killed all the firstborn in Egypt and brought us out of Egypt. But guess what? The New Testament telling you that despite him bringing out his nation with sons and daughters, that the fulfillment itself was done through Christ. It's a mess. But this is what we find in the book of Matthews. Now check this out. Go to Matthews 2. Matthews, the second chapter. And let's see what it says in the 15th verse of Matthews, the second chapter. It says, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Meaning, it talks about how in the 13th verse, when they were departed, Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And they had the nerve to say that this was the fulfillment of prophecy that was written in the book of Exodus 4 and Hosea, the 11th chapter. Do you understand, my people? Somebody trying to take our birthright. Somebody is outright trying to take our birthright, take our place. But let me tell you, the true and living Elohim loves us. And he chose us to be a special people unto himself above all people upon the face of this earth. And I praise Yahweh for that. I thank him. And you should be thanking him with me. Because if it wasn't for Yahweh, where would we be? Where in the world would we be? And I praise him. And I thank him. And I thank him for this broadcast. And I thank you for all the listeners that were listening in today. We praise Yahweh for you, because we know that the Most High, it's almost time for us to be delivered. The 400-year captivity, my people, is just about up. So it's time for us to straighten up, because we're going to soon meet our Maker. And we don't want to be blinded, following lies and deceits in the New Testament of the Bible as just some of the contradictions that were posed today, because there's various other contradictions and show enough contradictions on how it contradicts itself. This New Testament will speak of an event and give four different happenings of the same event. That's how messed up this book was. That's how messed up this book is. The writers of the New Testament said it would be better for us to tie a man's hands and legs to four horses, one left, one right hand, left leg, one right leg. Tie them up together and let all of them split this man in half than to put this book out. Now you can see why. Because it's speaking great words against the Most High. Well, let me say, on behalf of the entire house of Israel of Atlanta, Yahweh loves you and so do we, and I've enjoyed today. Shalom, shalom.